Now, one of the comments I made earlier was, my heavens, this podium's tall. But I understand our special guest is tall, and I tell you, in my eyes, he is tall. So I appreciate that. It is my pleasure. Hello, everyone. How are y'all been waiting a little while? Glad to see you're still with us. I'm Pamela Friends. I'm the executive director with Missouri Valley Community Action Agency. And on behalf of our board of directors and all of our staff, some of which are in here, y'all may have become intimately involved in communication. I don't know what y'all have been doing. But it is truly my pleasure to welcome a very special guest here. I've taken him on a short tour. We had to stop for a while because he was looking for a certain butterfly. So maybe if our Head Start kids were here, they could help him. But, huh?
I need help.
I know. But, you know, it's a pleasure to do the kind of work we do and to work with young children. One of the struggles we have is when we know there are so many more young children that need help and assistance, and families need quality child care. And through a special announcement that our guest is going to give us today, we're just thrilled about this. Governor has been a champion of children in the state of Missouri for many, many years. He's been recognized as that. And I just have to say, kind of makes tears come to my eyes when I talk about this, because it's hard when you know you want to do something and you can't get the funding to do it. And now we're going to be able to do some neat things with the assistance of our friends in the Richmond, city of Richmond. And we're just so excited. So I won't take any longer, but I just want to introduce you to our special guest, Governor Jay Nixon, who's going to make a wonderful announcement for us.
Thank you, and thank you for providing the butterfly chart. Well, for those of you who don't know, Missouri was chosen as the outstanding trail state in America this year. After that, we got that award. First Lady and I have had what's called a 100-mile challenge, asking all Missourians to get outside, try to hike 100 miles this summer. 9,650 Missourians have taken that challenge so far. Anybody here that wants to sign up can. First Lady currently remains ahead of me at 260.7 miles she's done since the beginning of the challenge. But as we're traveling the state and hiking these trails, the butterflies we're trying to identify, and I'm trying to catch up to her. And anytime I get a chance to study while she's not, I take the opportunity. Thanks, Pam, for what you do. It is a pleasure to visit a community that recognizes the value of strong public schools and the importance of expanding educational opportunities for students at every level, and understands that kids that come to kindergarten need to be ready to learn when they walk into kindergarten. And it's a pleasure to be here with your mayor, with Representative McGaugh, with school superintendent, and all the folks that work at this outstanding organization. It's clear, you know, and it's clear that's why we're here today, to announce new investments we're making to help districts like this one build for the future and expand access to early childhood education for area families. Now, over the past 4.5 years, we've worked tirelessly to balance the budget, protect Missouri's AAA credit rating, keep our fiscal discipline up. And as a result of that, we now have opportunities to make investments that will make a difference for the long run. So last fall, we undertook a comprehensive review to identify where we could invest resources to have the most impact long range. Education, and specifically early education, quickly emerged as a key priority. Study after study confirms what parents and educators see firsthand. The first 5 years of a child's development have an impact that lasts a lifetime. By making sure kids enter kindergarten ready to learn, we can prevent much more difficult and expensive problems down the road. And we can increase their prospects of succeeding in school and prospering in the career of their choice. In other words, early education is a smart investment with a big return. That's why the very first official business of my second term as your governor was meeting with early educators and officials to discuss ways to move forward in this area in our state. That's why it's my budget recommended in the 2014 additional significant increase for early childhood education programs. I thank Representative McGaugh and others from around the state that joined with us to provide an additional $7 million for early childhood education through our Missouri preschool program out through our public school system, but we wanted to do even more than that. So earlier this year, we announced plans to award $10 million statewide in community development block grants and tax credits through our Neighborhood Assistance Program to expand access to early learning opportunities across the state. So what we did, in the good old-fashioned Missouri way, is had a competition. The competitive grants, and it was very competitive, will help to improve, create, and expand high-quality early childhood and pre-kindergarten programs for children from low and moderate-income families in our state. The winners will be able to use these funds to expand or purchase building space, develop curriculum, and train teachers. We're calling this initiative in its entirety Missouri Start Smart, and it's what brings us here today. Now, as I said before, there was stiff competition for these resources. Dozens and dozens and dozens of organizations from around the state tried to get there, and I am very proud to report that this organization rose to the challenge. Missouri Valley Head Start has been authorized to receive a package of grants and tax credits worth nearly $1 million. to make sure that there is less mowing in this year necessary here. So if you'll see, it's fiscally prudent. Right? We're able to save money on mowing and gasoline costs by building a nice new facility right there that will serve dozens of additional children from this area, basically doubling the capacity of what's available here. And it's important to note that this project has a strong backing from the community, including the city, the Richmond Public School District, the Ray County Public Health Department, and quite frankly, as I told the folks before we came in, it's such a pleasure in this job to put these resources out in an important policy area. This week we have been around the state awarding the first four of the winners, the ones that finished the highest. One of the projects was in Kansas City, where you had an older building that needed work. One was in Jefferson City, another older building. Another was just a program down in Van Buren, Missouri, where they wanted to expand the number of students they could serve. And this one is the first where an entirely new facility will be built. To give you some sense, obviously, as to the quality of this grant, clearly in that top tier of those top four, and the only one with a brand new facility being built. So congratulations to that. So the Missouri Valley Action Agency has proudly served this community for more than 40 years, and its Head Start program received the 2012 Outstanding Missouri Head Start Collaboration Award for its partnership with the University of Central Missouri Child Care Centers. And now with these additional resources and strong community support, this new facility will create even more early learning opportunities for children in this area. So I'd like to congratulate the folks who are with us here today, including representatives of the Missouri Valley Action Agency, the Richmond Public Schools, the Ray County Health Department, mayor, representatives, everybody here. Everybody really stepped up to the plate, and I appreciate the work you've done to try to make sure that our kids are ready to learn and ready to succeed in a 21st century economy. Now, to the representatives of the Missouri Valley Head Start, the folks that work here, I want to tell you, we value your work. I mean, it's hard work. I mean, my golly. While we are prepared to bring resources here, I don't think me or any members of significant members of my staff are prepared to offer our services. It's too hard to work. But these types of folks that continue to serve your community, challenge these kids, provide them opportunities, as well as working to make sure that if there are challenges with students and young kids, that they are evaluated early, and if those challenges are found, so that individual education plans can be developed. I mean, you change lives here. You just do, and it's a reason why organizations like this are going to help make our state stronger and more prosperous for generations to come. So as governor, I'm proud to salute you for your services, the four decades of this organization. I look forward to coming by here at some point and seeing a new facility, but confident that with the broad support you've got, the professional staff you've got, the deep commitment you've got to children and education, that this will make a lasting positive impact in this area. With that, I'll take any questions that press or anybody else may have real quick. Anybody want to?
How will the taxes work?
Well, the CDBG, the Community Development Block Grant money, is a grant. And so they, once you receive that, then working with the State Department of Economic Development, they've been authorized for $900,000 plus. Yeah. It's all packaged together. So then the neighborhood assistance tax credits will require their credits that have matching dollars from the private sector. But the vast majority of this, over $920,000, is a community developed block grant, meaning cash that come problems. And so it's not debt. That's why I say this is a big competition, and this is the only place in the state that's gotten anything of this magnitude because of the unanimity. But that the vast majority of this is directly in a grant through the Community Development Block Grant, which is a program in which states receive a tranche of dollars from the federal government to use in low and moderate income areas around the state to provide things that can help move the economy forward. We positioned these in the early education area for the first time. That was part of the transition from where we were before. So these are community development block grant monies that folks have seen used in the past for bridges and roads and whatnot. And we still do that some, but we were trying to get some human capital direct impact out of this. So these are grant dollars. Vast majority, the rest of it are neighborhood assistance tax credits, which are can be used with contributions.
I have a question.
Sure.
You addressed what a wide investment it is in terms of early childhood, early learning, and how that carries us forward into the future. I've been doing a lot of reading about early childhood and what it does in terms of the economic development of communities themselves and the impetus that it gives to local economies, and I wondered if you could speak to that.
I mean, it does a couple of things. I mean, first of all, let's not kid ourselves. For parents, strong local certified, challenging daycare provides them a place they can be confident that their kids are going to have a longer term relationship. That has a big difference. I mean, for parents, oftentimes when you're partnering with an organization that's existed for 40 years, parents know that if kids start here as toddlers, that there's a very good chance they're going to continue through the programs all the way until they head off to school. That itself has a significant economic impact on two fronts. First of all, the kids are ready to learn and have more acuity, and second of all, they're very loyal to the region, so you end up growing your own. One of the problems you've had in rural areas is folks will grow up, get their education, and leave. And anything you can do to dig the roots deeper in a community helps strengthen, and that's especially applicable in the future as we see more folks telecommuting, as we see information technology allowing folks to do more work from anywhere, so building those roots. Number two is it is extremely expensive to deal with folks that have, undiagnosed challenges. It can be some of the most expensive work we do. I mean, we saw in the past, it's one of the reasons why we've expanded our services in the autism area. It's one of the reasons we expanded in the disability area. And there's all sorts of challenges there. So it's very expensive later in life to deal with those issues, and it has a very negative impact both on the individual families as well as the economy. And then the last part is, I mean, folks, anything we can do to understand that the competition for jobs and careers of the future is worldwide, it is not, you know, Richmond against Sedalia. It's America against China. You know, it's a world economy, and these kids, even in places like this, I mean, when you see around the world, education starting younger, being more rigorous, challenging the kids younger. If you do not do that, the gap that happens 15 or 20 years later when they're graduating from high school is significant. So we think I think education is the best economic development tool there is, and the sooner you start that, the stronger your economy is going to be in the long run. One more real quick, and then I got to run back to some town. No, I got to go back to that. Well, we are hosting, Missouri is hosting the Council of State Governments annual meeting, and I'm the president of it this year, from all the states, so I kind of snuck out to come here, but I'll get back in time, and then we have obviously going to be talking about auto, the expansion of the Ford plant tomorrow, and a couple of other things in that area, so I got to get back. But once again, I want to thank everybody here for what you do, not on the days when the governor's here, not on the day when the press is here, but on a day when parents drop off the future here and you take that future and you literally give them opportunities that their mom and dad didn't have. I say to kids when I go to schools now, that when your parents tell you that school was harder when they were a kid, they're not being truthful. I mean, it's a lot harder for these kids now, okay? They have, I mean, when we had to do a paper when I was in school, I mean, you go to the library, you go to the card catalog, you take a card out, and then you go get a book, and you open a book up, and you go get another book, and I had to know the Dewey Decimal System and all that sort of stuff, and it'd take you a whole weekend to do a 3 or 4 page paper, and it would be now on an iPhone or an iPad, these kids have access to the entire library of the world. It's more is expected of them. Than us, and the earlier we get started in helping them lead, the better off we're going to be as an economy. So it's a wonderful moment, and I look forward to coming by here late in an afternoon when it's quiet at some particular point. Hot coming today. Yeah. But thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, is this a neat experience or what? Oh, Lordy, this is fun. Yay! So, again, thanks, everyone. Hey, I've been standing too, so it's okay. But thanks, everyone, and I think there's some refreshments, and if you'd like a bottle of water, I think we've got some water, too, so we're all happy to give that to you. And thank you all very much for coming. Thanks. Thank you. Good to see you. All right. Can you believe that? Oh, man.
How are you?
Good. You?
Good.
Thank you. Oh, well. You're well. Yeah, thank you so much. Well, we're good looking, Mary.